John chapter 4. I didn't have Brother Chuck read from there. We're going to use verses 3 and 4 from Isaiah chapter 12 as our text. But I want to lay the foundation for my message by going back and just reminding you of a story, of an event, not a story, but an event that's recorded in the life of Christ that's in John chapter 4, where he meets a woman. The Bible says that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And most Jews, when they took that trip, avoided the land or the county or country of Samaria. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They had one Jewish parent, and then they had a parent that was not a Jew. And they were, because of that, they were looked down on by the pure Jews. They were referred to as dogs and looked upon that way. They could not enter into the temple. They could not take part in any of the ceremonies or the sacrifices that went on in the temple. And most Jews, just by nature, tried to avoid them. And yet, the Bible says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He had a plan. He was meeting someone. The Bible says that he came to a parcel of land that Jacob in the past had given to his son Joseph, to a place called Sychar. And there was a well there that was dug by Jacob. And the Bible says that Jesus was tired. And so he sat on that well. And his disciples went into town. The Bible says in that chapter it was about the sixth hour. And the Jewish day started at 6 in the morning. So it was about noontime. And so they had gone to buy lunch. And Jesus was sitting there resting. And a woman came to the well, a Samaritan. And Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink. Would you give me a drink? I'm tired, and the day is hot, and I'm thirsty, and I know that you have your pot with you. So would you give me a drink of water?" Of course, the woman was shocked. Because back in that day, even if it was a Jew talking to a Jew, a man didn't talk to a woman that he didn't know. And for a man to talk to a Samaritan woman that he didn't know, just broke the custom of the day twice. And it shocked the woman. And she said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, doth asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." What she was saying is, "Now, I know you're a Jew. Why are you asking me for a drink? Because Jewish people have no dealings with us Samaritans. You look down on us. You call us names. And why would you ask me for a drink?" And here's what Jesus said. He says, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." And the lady looked at him and she said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a pot, anything to draw out of this well. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Where are you going to get it from? I mean, and she went on to say, she said, "Our father Jacob dug this well and left it for us. Are you greater than our father Jacob?" And Jesus said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In the Bible, a longing for God is often referred to as a thirst. In the Bible, the need to have a relationship with God is often referred to as a thirst. The need to know that there is a God. A need to know that He did create you. That need to know that He has a purpose for your life. That need to know that when your life is over, it just doesn't end, that there's something more, and that God has it planned and has it all worked out. All of that, that need that I think every single person that's ever been born, even Christ Himself, has. I mean, God made that part of our being. He put in each one of us that desire, that longing, that need to know that there is a God, that He did create us, that He does have a purpose for us, and that there is something after this life that He's in charge of. And in the Bible, that longing, that need, that desire is oftentimes referred to as a thirst. Many, many times in the Psalms. In Psalm 42, verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" In Psalm 63, verse 1, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And then just one more, Psalm 143, verse 6. "I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land." You see, this woman that met Jesus this day by the well of Sychar was thirsty. She had something in her life that the world couldn't satisfy. She'd been married 5 times. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband. She was looking for something in the world that were looking for something to satisfy in the world. And I want to tell you, there's nothing in the world that can satisfy the longing that God puts in every single person to know that there's a God. She wanted to know that there was someone that created her. She wanted to know that there was somebody that had a plan for her life. She wanted to know and have a relationship with that one that is going to take care of things when we die. She was thirsty. And so she said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." And again, I believe every single person here this morning has or had at one time that same thirst in your life. You were created with it. You were born with it. It's part of your makeup that God put in you. A longing to know the Creator. A longing to know the God that made you. A longing to know that He had a purpose in making you. That you weren't just an accident, but there was a plan that He had for you. A longing to know that this life, when this body dies, it just doesn't end. That there's something more. And we look to God for that something more. And this morning, I invite you, like Jesus invited that woman at the well, to drink this living water. Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water." That invitation includes every single person in this room. Everyone that thirsteth, everyone that has that desire, everyone that has that longing can come and drink that living water. You say, "Okay, Brother Darrell, what is the living water? What is that well of salvation that Isaiah talks about in chapter 12, verse 3, when he says, 'Draw water out of the well of salvation'? What is that well? What is that living water that you can drink of and never thirst again?" It's one word. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. He's the living water. He's the well of salvation. He said in John chapter 6, verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You believe on Him, you get saved, and you'll never have that thirst in your life again to know that there's a God, to know that there's a Creator, to know that there's somebody that has a plan for your life. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So let me ask you this morning, is anybody here thirsty? Anybody here still have that longing in your life to know that there's a God? Anybody have that longing in your heart and in your soul that wants that the world can't fill? Solomon tried to fill it with all sorts of things, more than probably any of us will have the opportunity to do. He tried to fill it with possessions, and he tried to fill it with wealth, and he tried to fill it with pleasure, and he tries to fill it with fame. And in the midst of all that, he says, it's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. My spirit is vexed. It's not satisfied. And let me remind you that the things of the world cannot satisfy the longing that God puts in every single one of us. You can try to fill it with all the world has to offer, and you can do like Solomon and chase wealth and chase fame and chase popularity and chase pleasure, but at the end you'll say the same thing that he did. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. It doesn't satisfy that longing that God's put in my life. And so, if you're here this morning and you're thirsty, I invite you to come and draw water out of the well of salvation. How do you do that? Just like Jesus said, believe on Him. Just like Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's the one that can satisfy that thirst. He's the one that can satisfy that longing. He made you. He made you. In John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Genesis chapter 1, when God had completed making everything else, the Bible says this, long about in verse 26, I think, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost talking. Let's make man in our image. You were made by God. You just weren't born. Say, oh yeah, I was born. I had a mom and a dad. I know everybody here had a mom and a dad. But who do you think oversaw that conception? Who do you think brought you to birth? It was God. It was God. There's no babies born without God wanting them to be born. There's no accidents. God's behind every birth just as much as He was behind the creation in the Garden of Eden. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's why it's murder. For somebody to take the life of a little baby in the womb. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. He's behind every birth. There's no accidents. And so you were made by God. He has a purpose for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You've heard me say this many times, and I'll keep saying as long as you let me. God didn't make you and say, okay, I got to figure out something for them to do. God had something that He needed done, and so He made you to do it. He had a plan and has a plan for your life. You might say, oh, well, Brother Darrell, I've messed up that plan. Well, God hadn't given up on you. You're one of His. He still has a plan for your life. May not be the plan that He started out with, but it's the plan He's got for you today. There's nobody here that's saved that God doesn't have a plan for your life. He does. And then when we die, He's the one that'll take us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When we die, our life's not over. And when I drove by Brother Vern's grave the other day after work, walked out, finally found it. Took me about a half an hour, but I finally found it. And I just stood there and I thought about him for a little bit. In heaven this morning with His Savior, fishing, and who knows doing what else, having a good time. But that's what we all have to look forward to. That's what we all can have hope and faith in, knowing that we have a God that not only made us for a plan, but a God that's going to take us when we die, when this life is over. And so I say again with Isaiah, if any person here that has that thirst, you come, believe on Jesus, you'll never thirst again. And by the way, that's where the joy comes from. In that verse, chapter 12, verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. We sometimes sing that little chorus in Sunday school. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart to stay. And that joy comes from knowing God. That joy comes from having that longing, that desire filled in your life. We sometimes sing the song, we don't sing it as often as the other one. 'Tis joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of glory. 'Tis joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. We have that joy, but we ain't seen nothing yet, folks. Ain't seen nothing yet. Gets better. Gets better. And that's where the joy comes. From having that thirst satisfied. From having that desire satisfied. From having that longing satisfied. We say like Peter in 1 Peter 1:8, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So again, if you're here this morning, that longing's not been satisfied. You still have that desire to know your Creator. Still have that desire to know the one that has a plan for your life. Still has a desire for that one that wants you to go to heaven when you die. Then you come, and like in the book of Revelations, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Freely. Just as Jesus offered it to the woman on the well that day, he offers it to every single person that's here that doesn't know him. And this morning, if you're thirsty, you come. And he'll give you that well of water that'll spring up into everlasting life. And you'll never thirst again. So, verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, I know many of you this morning have already done that, if not most in the room. You've already been saved. You've already believed on Christ. You know that joy that I'm talking about. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so I call your attention to the next verse, verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Because I think in verse 4, we find four things that every Christian, every person that knows this joy, every person that has had that longing satisfied in their life, there are four things that every Christian should be about. Number one, praise. It says, praise the Lord. We sang, the choir sang this morning as our special, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins, he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus, the crucified. The psalmist says in Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Here's what the psalmist says. I may not have much of life left, but if I just got a little bit of life left, I'm going to praise the Lord. I may not have much strength left, but if I've got any strength at all, I'm going to use it to praise the Lord. I may not have much of my health left, but while I've got any health at all left, I'm going to use it to praise the Lord. That's what he means by when he says, I'm going to use all of my being, any being that I have left, any life that I have left, any breath that I have left, any strength that I have left, I'm going to use it to praise the Lord. I'm going to extol him. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to hold him up. And I'm going to bring glory to his name. We sing that little song, praise him, all ye little children, God is love, God is love. I could spend the next day, I could spend 24 hours telling you every reason you have to praise the Lord. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you're a Christian this morning, you can spend the rest of your life praising God and still not get it in. So we ought to be praising him. Praise him. Number two, it says, pray. Where it says, praise the Lord, call upon his name. So you praise and you pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray every day. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What the Bible's saying is you can talk to God about anything. It doesn't have to be something big, Millie, like cancer. It can be something small, like what you're going to eat for breakfast tomorrow morning. God's concerned about every detail in our life, and He invites us. He says, hey, come and talk to me about them. Make your request. I don't want you to worry about anything, from the big things to the little things. It's all pointless. Don't worry about it. Make your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving, with prayer, and He'll answer and show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Number three, praise. Number one, praise. Number two, prayer. Number three, proclamation. Declare His doings among the people. Declare His doings among the people. Psalm 77, verses 13 and 14. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been proclaiming, preaching. They'd been going out and telling everybody what Jesus had done. The religious establishment arrested them and stood them before their council and said, you got to stop this. You're upsetting everything. We command you, you can't say anything about Jesus, nor can you teach anymore in His name. And Peter and John, unlearned but bold disciples, they said this, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You're going to have to judge that, whether we should listen to you or whether we should listen to God. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You can tell us to stop. You can command us to stop. You can threaten us and throw us in jail and beat us and whip us, but we can't help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. We can't help but proclaim what Jesus has done for us. Why do you think, I was thinking about Brother Forrest when I was putting this down on my paper the last couple days. Why do you think he sings the song, How Great Thou Art, so much? Because he's experienced the greatness of God in his life. And so when he sings, what he's doing, and he's proclaiming. And we all ought to be that way. We all ought to say we've got a great God. He's the God that doeth wonders. I mean, I don't have any further to look than my salvation. He took me, a sinner that was sinking in sin, a dirty, rotten, vile person, and He lifted me up, set me on that solid rock, made me clean in the eyes of God. I can praise God the rest of my days. I can proclaim my God the rest of my days because He saved me. And that was just the beginning. I've heard Brother Forrest say how he gets up early. I know he gets up early in the morning, early in the morning. He goes to the woods, watches the sun comes up. I've not been there with him, but I'm sure sometimes he breaks out into that song, Oh Lord my God, how great Thou art. He's a great God. We need to proclaim it. And then number four, I tried to think of a word that started with a P to go with this point. Praise, prayer, proclaim. No, Millie, how many times I got to tell you, stay out of my preaching. Earl, you and I are going to have to talk. But I couldn't. So I couldn't think of a word P. But here's, I'll just say it like this. Number four, talk about Him. Talk about Him. Declare His doings among the people. Proclaim, make mention that His name is exalted. Make mention that His name is exalted. Chris played for our offertory a few moments ago. If you didn't recognize the song, it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. We need to talk about Him. We talk about so much other stuff. Stuff that a month from now is not going to make any difference. Stuff that a year from now, a decade from now, is not going to make any difference. But talking about Jesus will make a difference. It'll make a difference for for all eternity. I like that little course. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And I think we need to. In our homes, in our workplaces, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, every place we go, we need to talk about Jesus. If you've drawn from that well of salvation, and you know what it is to have that longing and that desire filled in your heart and your soul and your life, to have a relationship with God, to know that He made you, has a plan for your life, He's going to take you when you die, then you need to be about praise. You need to be about prayer. You need to be about proclamation. You need to be about talking about Him. And if you're here today and you still have that thirst, that hunger, come to the bread of life. Come to the well of salvation. Draw deep. Draw deep. It's free. And it's available to every single person that's here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the wonderful, wonderful story of how You loved us, how You sent Your Son to die for us, how He offers to every single person that drink that will satisfy forever and ever. And I pray if there's just one person here that's never drawn from that well, one person that still has that thirst in their life to have a relationship with You, I pray this morning they'd come. They'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in what He did on Calvary to save them. And this morning they'd make that decision to receive Christ. Help them, Father. Help, give them that understanding. Give them that faith that You deal to every single person, that they can accept it and believe it. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here, we who tasted that water, we who have in us now that well that springs into everlasting life, I pray that we spend our time in praise, in prayer, proclamation, talking about our Savior. Bless the invitation. I pray, Father, if there is somebody here that needs to get saved, they would be the first one out of their seat, down the aisle, letting us take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's Christians here and You've laid something on their heart, I pray that they take care of it today. They'd be obedient. We'd be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. Just bless the invitation. Use it as You see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.